Hey, and welcome back to the A24 podcast. We've been trying to get Lord and Hunter Schafer together for a conversation ever since we heard Liability featured on the Jewel's special episode of Euphoria that Hunter co-wrote. Things finally came together late last year, and Hunter took a break from filming season 2 to chat with Lord about art, astrology, Antarctica, and more. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Okay, shall we get into it?
All right, let's do it.
After you.
All right. Hello, this is Hunter Schafer.
And this is Lord, and we are talking for the A24 podcast.
Woo!
Hello, my queen. How
Hello.
Are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am great. Thank you. Doing this on a very warm Sunday.
Yeah.
In Hollywood.
Very toasty walk over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We were at an event about the power of women the other night.
Yes, a few nights ago.
Where you introduced me very sweetly, and it really touched me.
We killed our public speaking moments.
We tried.
We used the teleprompters as needed.
Mm-hmm. I just sort of flagged someone down and was like, alcohol, please.
Yeah.
And they brought us the funniest, like, pink drink.
It was
with like a pink flower in it. Like, it was truly someone's interpretation of girls.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And a drink. But ripped that, you hit your Jewel, and then we just
got up there and did it.
Then Angelina Jolie got up right after us, which felt crazy. I was like,
they
should have to just like reset the whole stage, you know. She's like the queen.
Right? Yeah. Like, yeah. In her face, oh my God.
Divine.
In real life.
Simply divine.
So much fun to look at.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of event, there are a lot of exquisite faces.
Yeah.
Like you really realize, oh, this is what it's all about.
Yeah. I mean, women and femmes, you know?
Women and femmes.
But you look pretty cozy today. This is
thanks.
Yeah.
No, this is quite far from women's wear. I'm just like in.
Yeah.
Well, these are Prada pants, actually. Vintage Prada. This is my Etsy.
Speaking of Prada.
I know. I'm in the presence of the Prada princess.
Girl.
So when did that start? And what does that mean to you, like being a Prada girl?
A Prada
girl. Was that something that you had, like, did you grow up with an understanding of Prada? Because you're into fashion. Like, I've seen your designs.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Really, thank you. Grew up really into fashion, and I think I was more interested in Miu Miu growing up, just because there was something like kind of more baby doll about it, and I feel like every like trans girl has this rite of passage through the baby doll era where like you got to dress like the 5-year-old girl that you never got to be.
Right, that's interesting.
So I was, I found that in Miu Miu, I think. But then recently, I mean, just with work and life changing really fast, I just told my team, I was like, yo, Prada's doing some sick shit right now, and Raf Simons is there, and what can we do with them? And then a few days later, they came back with an offer. It was pretty crazy.
How cool
so
to get
nuts.
To say that, like, only you could be like, hey, I kind of want to be a Prada girl, and they'd be like, yes.
Is there any kind of fashion girl you would like to be?
Yeah, I mean, so I like grew up definitely consuming a lot of shows on, it wasn't called Vogue Runway at the time, but what we now know as Vogue Runway. And was like very into fashion. I was a big Com head, obsessed with Com.
Yeah.
A huge Phoebe Philo Celine fan.
Of course.
Still, you know, and I sort of have like a little collection of those pieces going on, but it's you know, it's kind of the Wild West for Phoebe Philo Celine fans. The prices have skyrocketed, you know.
I don't want to even imagine.
No, never. Yeah. It's a bad habit. But no, I liked really sort of big, strange clothes. I liked a lot of fabric. It's really structural. You know, there was no kind of shape that I was afraid of, and I was sort of the opposite to you in that I was like not keen to confront my femininity or my sexuality quite yet.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I was like, let's not even talk about my body.
Yeah.
So I would sort of find these pieces that were really I think of them now as like cloaks,
yeah.
You know, like a magician's cloak.
Yeah. I remember when I saw you in concert when I was like 14 or 15 or something, you had, I think you did, you wore like a cloak maybe at one
definitely
point.
Would have, yeah, that was my cloak era for yeah. sure.
And then like some super badass baggy pants and maybe like yeah. a crop top or something, which is a go-to
right.
silhouette.
Thank yeah. you. Thank yeah. you so much. Yeah, I loved a suit as a kid. And I look back, I'm like, it's kind of funny to be like 15, 16 and just like wearing a suit.
In a suit.
Everywhere. Yeah, it was
That's
kind of tough.
Cool. You know? Yeah.
yeah I'm proud of it. Yeah. Looking back. Wow, I have so many questions for you.
Oh my God.
I do want to talk sure. actually a little bit more about your visual art practice because
okay.
I think of it as like a big part of you as a creative, and obviously I don't like know that much about you as a creative, but you do these incredible drawings.
Thank
like,
you.
You are such a talented visual artist.
Thank
and I
you.
Can't even imagine having that arm to what I can do and how I can express myself. So I wanted to know, like, yeah, is that something you've always done, and what like place does that occupy for you?
Yeah.
Are you making a lot of visual art
yeah.
all the time? Like, tell me. tell
I
me
feel
all
like
about.
It goes in way. I've been doing it like literally ever since I can remember.
Mm.
Like instead of like sitting me down in front of a TV, my parents would just like stick me down in front of a table with just like paper and crayons and stuff, and just let me go loose on there. And then I think something parallel to an addiction was formed with drawing. And yeah, ever since I can remember, if there's something in my hand, like the innate feeling is to just doodle. And that I feel like that's where the bulk of my drawing stuff happens, is in like just margins of papers and like my agenda at school was just full of fucking drawings.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I went to this state-funded visual art school for my last 2 years of high school and kind of got like trained. And it was interesting going to school for a thing that was like just like my thing for the first time. And then and like that's now part of like being graded and stuff. And I don't know. It's a weird thing once a passion turns into either like schoolwork or something lucrative, you know. I'm sure you feel that too with music, maybe.
Because I started making music not long after I started getting paid to make music. Like, I don't know. It wasn't a big adjustment, I guess. But no, it is a funny thing. It's something I've been thinking about recently, actually. Like this thing that I think of my work as I get to play. I just get to go to a studio and play, you know, for months at a time, and months turn into years, and I'm still there playing. Like, it feels no different to playing at school or playing with, you know, like my little dolls that I would make,
yeah.
you know.
You would make dolls too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What kind of dolls?
I would make, oh my God. Okay, so, well, my preschool teacher would make these incredible dolls that you would get, like, I don't know if you have it here, like a, they call it a Cupid doll, like a little plastic kind of doll. And she would glue these really intricate kind of skirts to them and these beautiful kind of glittery fabrics. But my favorites were she would find a little baby doll and it would go inside a walnut shell.
What?
And she would make a little bed for it in a walnut shell.
That's
so it was like,
so cute.
Like a little baby, like the fairies would have like their baby, and it just like that really blew
wow.
my mind. Yeah.
That is adorable.
Yeah, but I was making all kinds of shit too. Very crafty, crafty child.
Yeah.
I feel like if you, I mean, I know you're this kind of person because I just know these people when I see them, but you have a very rich inner world and you
yeah.
just need to like go there and, you know, dial in times a thousand
yeah.
and just be sort of in your own thing. And,
yeah.
The sort of crafty writing and reading and drawing.
Exactly.
All those pastimes were
yeah.
great for that as a kid.
For fun so much. Did you ever like, because I assume you're quite an inner world person
yeah.
too. Did you ever try to like actually map it out or create some version of it in real life?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. Well, maybe not in so many words, but I remember Tavi Givenson, who's a friend of mine, who's, you know, so amazing and sort of like the it was sort of the high priestess of the inner world, yes. Acknowledging the inner world as a teenager for me.
Rookie.
Yeah, represent. But she would do this amazing sort of color coding of her journals. She would, there was this whole system of symbols and, they'd go with sort of correspond with different emotions or different like parts of her,
yes.
Which was so amazing to me. But I've never been someone who journals. I've just I don't write down anything about myself. I don't know why. And I've tried. I just can't get into it. Yeah, it's like a bad.
That actually surprises me.
I know.
No, it's not bad. Where did they go?
It would be amazing. I know. Well, songs? I guess like into songs. Yeah. My like notes, which is such a heinous.
Oh, the notes app?
Yeah.
That's a journal.
I know, but it's like a bad place for them, you know. Tavi has like 20 or more books and she keeps them in this like fireproof safe, like
I've seen the interview.
So cool.
I was like her biggest fan.
Oh man.
Like before
she really like
for Rookie, but yeah
you worked for Rookie?
Yeah,
you did.
It was my first job.
No,
yeah,
what the heck, what did you do? This is
basically
this is a scoop. Yeah, for me,
okay. Let's see. Yeah, I was, like I said, an avid Tavi Gevinson stan in like freshman year of high school. And on Instagram, I, in my fandomness, posted, I cut out a picture of Tavi with an X-Acto knife from a magazine shoot because I like collected everything that she was in. And then like I held her little paper hand and took a picture of the cutout and posted it for her birthday and tagged her. And then I guess she found it and then found my account with my art on it and asked me to be a contributor. And I had a meltdown and then contributed for like a few years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I need to go back and look at these. I bet I like saw them at the time.
Maybe, but wow. Oh my God, it was so, yeah, my work has changed a lot since then.
No, for sure.
But it was so, so cute. And I'm glad Rookie's still a relic. I think it's still up even though they stopped putting stuff out.
Yeah, no, I've seen that too. I have thought about it recently. I read an article about, the sort of having those spaces for teens.
Yeah.
And how cool that was. And they talk about Sassy as well, which is
an
iconic sort of 90s magazine that I think inspired Rookie. And, you know, it's so cool to, I wonder if, I'm sure kids are creating those spaces for themselves.
Yeah.
I'm out of the game, you know. It's kind of crazy to think about teenagedom.
As,
like, I'm 24, you're 22.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things I never thought I would be outside of, you know.
I know.
And sort of like
that
a bit of a grieving
felt like
process.
It would never.
Never.
End.
For better or for worse.
Oh my God. I do kind of miss it sometimes, though, just because where we're at now seems like such a dream world. Mm. Like, so far away and unimaginable.
Mm.
And it's wild to be in that, like, I don't know what you're. Was this like your aspiration, like what you're doing now?
I mean, I didn't really have, all I thought was I want to make something that communicates with people like me the way I would want to be communicated with. I just felt like there was nothing that was talking to people my age like we were real people, apart from something like Rookie, you know. I was like, there's a musical equivalent of that, you know. 2012, 2013, it was like a bit of a desert. There were, you know, young sort of pop artists, I guess, but like social media was still not really a big part of being an artist. So you sort of didn't have that connection with someone's voice and their personality. I still remember, like, I think I said to my label or something, you know, I'm doing Instagram and Twitter, it's kind of fun. And they were like, oh, okay, like, good on you, do it, I guess. it was like, and now, you know, they're like, that's a huge part of, it's like completely monetized.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It is wild. I feel like I can fully, like, completely say most of my career stuff has come from fucking Instagram.
And you have to give that the credit that it's due.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to be like, this thing fucked
just
up.
Just go in. You know, yeah.
But so how did you, these are just like questions that I'm interested in. How did you get your role on Euphoria? And was that like an early acting role for you?
I'd never acted before Euphoria. And it was not in my plan at all. I'm a pretty, especially at that point, I'm less shy now because acting has sort of really broken me out of my shell. Definitely, I was really shy. You know, I was modeling in New York, just really to be making some money and be in New York and around an industry that I wanted to work in.
Mm-hmm.
But even with the performative stuff of that, I couldn't have dreamed of acting. And I had never been on an audition before. And my agency said that these casting people had reached out and asked me to come in and read for this role for this HBO show. I was like, I didn't know what to think of it. And initially I was like, I don't think I want to do it. I just, because it's not my, wasn't my thing. I was like supposed to go to school in a few months for fashion. They asked again, and I think I ended up going in. And I just kept getting called back, which was really surprising. And
surprising?
Yeah.
I can imagine what happened after they met you. All of their prospects sort of just fallen away. Like, what you have in that role, like, there was just no one else.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's insane.
I mean, it's so cool to think about, like, what other versions of Jules there could have been, because she's so closely like tied to me.
I don't think about any other versions of Jules. There are no other versions.
But it's kind of fun. Like yeah, did you no, ever watch you Teen Titans?
No. What is that?
Oh, it's like a wow. I bring this up a lot in interviews actually. I should probably stop doing that. But there's like this character, it's like a teen superhero show, and there's this character Raven who was always my favorite, and there was like an episode where she divided up into like 10 versions of herself, and each one was a different color of the rainbow spectrum.
That with Jules.
Like what other rainbow actors Jules could have done. It's kind of fun. Have you ever acted?
I actually acted before I sang and made music.
Really?
I was in like a drama group in my neighborhood.
Wow.
From age 5 to about 13 or 14.
So it wasn't in school?
Mm-mm. No.
It was on your own time.
Own time.
Word.
Absolutely loved it. I was just chronically painfully shy, and this was the thing that made me feel like I was powerful In being someone else and speaking, I could put that aside, that shyness, and just like be this sort of big presence, which I loved.
Yeah.
I did that for a long time. I do think about it, but I think like I was not a good actor. I think if I really think about it, like I wasn't good.
I can't imagine.
I could memorize lines and I could like project, but I'm like, you know, I don't. I can feel it like at times my music job has required me to do like a tiny bit of acting, whether it's like in a music video, like just like look up and look surprised, and I do it and I'm like, oh God, never inflict this upon
that's
anyone.
What it is though. Music videos sound fun to film.
Yeah,
do you actually have a question about this. Do you actually get to listen to the music for them
the entire day?
The entire day?
The entire day. It's all you're doing. You're listening to the song over and over and over. And the one thing I didn't know about when I started making videos, sometimes they will shoot at a different frame rate. And so you have to sing to a version that is either like twice as slow or twice as fast, which is crazy to do.
Like, so oh like, my God, I think about rappers.
Oh my God.
Like who are just like spitting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
it's used a lot in hip hop videos as well. It makes things look really like epic and
yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, slow-mo Shit looks cool.
Yeah, it's like slow-mo, but it doesn't look slow-mo. It's a crazy thing. I haven't done it in years, but yeah, no, you listen to the song all day. We recently shot a bunch of videos. I think we did 6 or 7 for this album in New Zealand.
Solar Power?
For Solar Power,
yeah.
And yeah, we were like on this beach for like 10 days or something.
I saw the Solar Power one. Was that beach?
Yeah, that beach. Yeah.
That video was so much fun.
Thank you. Yeah, it was super fun. But just like that was my first experience co-directing and
You co-directed that?
Yeah, and like written all the treatments and like basically, you know, almost helped produce it. Like I was super, super involved. But it was amazing. It was so much fun, that experience of being on a set.
Cool.
Like, oh man, this is fun. If only I could act. I could be doing this.
You
well.
Were serving whatever the vibe of that song is in the video. I could feel it through my screen.
Thank you.
Had you ever directed before?
No, I think I'd like, I think it's like a classic thing for young women. You're like, oh, I think I do this thing, but I've never been credited with it. No one's ever like talked to me about, you know, whether it's like music production or video directing or, you know, graphic design stuff. Like people it takes a second to be like, hey, I know what I've contributed to this. And, you know, I think my credit should reflect that.
Absolutely.
It's definitely been a process for me figuring out how to voice that. But so this is my first like time being called a director. it was super, super fun.
Yeah, you got the title.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, okay, I have a bunch of questions for you.
Wait, does that mean there's more videos coming?
There's more, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool,
they're coming,
cool.
They're
just
coming.
As a fan.
Yeah,
fan.
Yeah. I want to talk about your episode, actually, that you wrote of Euphoria, which was so awesome.
Co-wrote, Sam.
You co-wrote it, yeah. It was so beautiful.
Thank you.
I really, I could see, I don't know, I just, all the time when I'm watching you do stuff, I can tell that there is so much to come. Like, you just keep unfolding. There's another layer, and I feel like this episode was like 10 layers, you
a
know
a lot of layers.
Did it feel that way to you? What was the experience like writing that, and what made you want to write an episode?
Definitely. Once again, it wasn't necessarily something that I was looking for. I think of myself as not that great with words, which is why I draw and paint and stuff like that, because that feels so much easier than trying to articulate myself with these shits words, you know.
These shits?
Yeah. They're really annoying. I find them constricting. But Sam and I were just talking a lot through the pandemic. We had played around writing this other movie out of sheer boredom and wanting to be back at work, and so we already had that dynamic established a little bit, and he was thinking about doing a Jules episode after writing the Rue episode, and we just started talking about it and got into it, and eventually he was just like, this kind of sounds like dialogue, should we do this together? And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And we did it in like a week, the first draft. But writing is really cool, actually. There's maybe particularly with Sam, because he's a pretty visual thinker too, and really rhythmic. There's something like musical
totally.
About like writing a script as well, because you're kind of having to like envision the beats and the like. You really are having to play out the entire thing in your head, and then figure out how to say that or communicate that in like as few words as possible, plus whatever dialogue is happening. It's really fun in that way, because it's like making a map for or like a blueprint for this thing that could be very real. It's really wild to like write about a room and then like a month later walk into that room you wrote about.
Totally.
That's a crazy feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was definitely like the most cathartic artistic experience I've had so far in life.
Oh, I felt that, and I wanted to ask you about it because, you know, it's such a deep exploration of femininity, of trans femininity, mm-hmm. of, you know, desire and physicality,
mm-hmm.
The likes of which I feel like I hadn't ever really seen, you know, heard before. Some of those thoughts. I thought it was I'm like truly not an authority on this at all, obviously, but I felt like it was a real entry into a young trans girl canon or something. It felt really, really big in that way.
Yeah, that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah,
Thank you.
No, not at all. It was mission accomplished. But I was interested to know how where the line is with sort of personal and you know, how much of that is that character and how much of that is you? Because, you know, always with something really personal, I want to know, like, is that her or is that him? I read a lot of autofiction and, you know, I think it's like a basic question. Like, I think you're not really supposed to ask, like, is that you or the character? But I was curious about it.
It's really...
Which parts of yourself, you know, you brought and which parts felt like they were jewels as to explore.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, the whole show and Sam, who taught me how to act and write and all of these things literally from the ground up, he's trained in method acting.
Right.
So there's a bit of a basis of that there, which yields pretty blurry lines
I
think.
Do you kind of do a bit of a method act?
I don't have like a technique.
Okay.
Like they tried to, the casting director tried to stick me in this this acting class in New York with this guy who like fucking trained some crazy actors, but it was the method technique.
Wow.
And I made it 2 weeks into this month long class before I had to drop out because it is so hardcore. Like that technique as a thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, and not right for everyone. Like,
no. You know,
if it works
no.
for you, it really works.
And yeah.
I can imagine
sustainable.
Being like, no.
Especially for a 19-year-old. I'm like,
oh,
I had way too much going on to figure out how to like completely become someone else for a long period of time.
No, totally.
The episode, there's a lot of me in it.
Mm.
Even Jules as a character in the first season was sort of built around a lot of a lot of my experiences fall in line with hers or Sam, so it's like a bit of a mixture of both of us.
Mm.
I had been through a lot that pandemic summer as well. I don't know how the pandemic was for you, particularly in the quarantine months, but I definitely lost my shit a little
bit. Yeah.
So I'd been through a lot, and kind of just coming out of that really rough patch when we started writing it. So I had all this just like energy that was doing and that got poured into it, at least for the acting as well. I feel like I was saving a lot of a lot of shit to like get out for the days that we filmed.
It was crazy watching you in that episode. That was definitely like another layer again. It was so real.
Yeah. So there was like a lot of real emotions coming out in that shoot as well.
How special to get to metabolize it in that way.
Yeah.
You know?
It really was. It's so therapeutic.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you feel that way with like songwriting or... Because you write all your stuff, right?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you feel that way with it? Or I also know you have...
I have the thing.
Yes, the thing.
So
the thing.
But
do you feel that way when writing, or is it sort of something more like post having the feelings? Or do you gotta like, oh... I'm having a feeling right now. I got to like save it for later when I'm in front of a notepad and could like get this out and stuff.
Well, I do find I find songwriting to be really, I guess it is cathartic. Like, I think by the time I finish the song, I've helped to reconcile what it is. Like, if it's something that is sort of grappling with something that is a bit more knotty, like, I remember that with Liability, actually, which is in your episode of Euphoria, yeah, which was such a treat
still
for me.
Dead.
Sam sent me the scene and I literally shed a tear, which does not happen for me very often.
It, the way it fucking matched up with that
so
shot, it literally just matched up by itself. Like, we didn't even have to edit. It was insane.
So beautiful. No, but when I was writing that song.
Oh my God, not that.
Get her out of bed, wake up, Hunter. No. When I was writing that song, before I started writing it, I had been, like carrying around the sort of big, knotty feeling. I was feeling too, just like too much and too big, and like people were going to come along and be like, okay, turns out you're crazy, gotta go. And I could just see this cycle of sort of people being drawn to my light and then tapping out when it got too crazy, mm-hmm, unfolding in front of me, and writing the song about it and sort of like reclaiming that, being like, I am a lot, and this is it. You choose to indulge, mm-hmm, and, you know, stick it out and good things will happen. So I feel like, that I definitely remember that as an example. And I remembered it actually as this. I was in New York at the time and I was like 19 or 20 maybe. Mm. I was sort of carrying around this big heartbreak and it just felt like the original heartbreak, you know, like no one else had ever had this. It was mine and no one understood it, and I felt so sort of like fragile. But I remember writing that song and describing it to my co-writer as like this violet, like, bubble around me, and I just felt like, you know what, I've got this big, I've got all this pale purple, I've got this bubble now, and wow, it's okay. Like, I've fortified myself against this feeling that, you know, someone might try to level at me. So that was like a total, and it is, it should feel like that, I think, when you've done it right, or that's what I like about.
Like an armor or something?
Yeah, totally. And just sort of getting to move something through and understand it. You know, a song might start with a fear, you know, I'm scared that my dog is going to die or something. And then, in writing that, you sort of, help to make sense of that. So.
You can feel it in that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the synesthesia is a weird... kind of a weird thing. I don't know if, I mean, it sounds like you have a little bit of you've said the thing about maps a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to me that you want this like, classification system or something.
It is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I think, it's a...
It sounds visual to me, you know.
It is. Because like inside of my head is a scramble all the time of just like mess. I have pretty intense ADHD, so it's and I feel like writing stuff down and mapping it. These I brought one today, these notebooks are these little notepads.
Like, I love that.
The notebook.
That's so interesting. What star sign are you?
I'm a Capricorn.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. What are you?
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, word.
Yeah, I'm like a textbook Scorpio.
Yeah,
like
I totally
emotions.
See it.
Capricorns.
You have Scorpio eyes.
Thank you so much. Prolonged
eye contact.
Do you know
what that is? Yeah.
Is a Scorpio thing?
Like, yes.
Very locked in.
Yep.
But I do think of Capricorns as needing systems to make it through. Like, Let's just
I didn't think I was that way. Or I feel like I rejected that trait for a while because I was like, no, I want to be...
Free spirit.
And go with the flow. But you identify with your Scorpio-ness?
I do big time. It's Scorpio is a really passionate, strong likes and dislikes, sort of mercurial. The main way I am always like, damn bitch, you're a Scorpio, is with how I befriend. Mm-hmm. I'm very takes me a long time. I don't make friends easily, but if I bring you in, like, you're in for life,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to leave you better than I found you, you Aww. Know, you're going to, like,
That's beautiful.
It's like a whole commitment.
Yeah. You know?
For better or for worse.
Yeah. But the Scorpio eyes fall in line with that. My first girlfriend was a Scorpio, and I swear that's like she did something with her eyes and it was like over.
Oh my gosh, fallen.
Yeah.
Love it.
But do you find your compatibilities are true too? Like with whatever, do you pay attention to that stuff, the astrology?
I have, there's like this amazing 70s astrologer called Linda Goodman, who I got really into. So she has a book called Sun Signs and Love Signs. And I gotta say, they are products of the time. Mm-hmm. Like there's some crazy like heteronormativity and, you know, she's like, you're going to want to do this for your man because he's going to want to see this. And I'm like, oh, Linda. No. But they are super interesting. There's Love Signs is this like tome and it has every possible pairing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fascinating. I love when a friend has just started seeing someone new. I'm like, let's get Linda out.
Yeah.
And see what she's saying. But no, I'm known for astrologically turbulent partnerships that seem to work really well.
Wow.
But yeah, I do remember looking up potential boo and Linda was basically like, stop right here. Go no further. This will lead, you know, to disaster.
Did you listen to her?
No, I didn't. It's all been great.
Yeah.
So. I wanted to ask about, I guess I wanted to know, like, I felt that in watching that episode, and I keep talking about this episode because I just think it's so you, I mean, it's your thing and I love the whole show and
thank you.
The whole thing blows me away. But yeah, this episode, it's also like the last bit of Euphoria that I've seen. So it's very fresh in my mind. But I felt that in writing that episode, I could feel you saying, here's some things that I maybe haven't seen about, you know, the trans femme experience. Mm-hmm. Like this is something that I want to portray.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know if there were things that you want about trans portrayal, whether it's, you know, film or TV or books or music, whatever it is, you know, is there something that you, I mean, there's so much that needs to move forward, but are there particular things that you're like, I really want to see that. I crave this. You
Definitely.
Know?
Mm. So many things. I mean, in general, I think like the closest thing I have to a spirituality is like I believe in people like riding frequencies or like being in tune with certain frequencies based off of their experience or whatever that means.
Mm.
But I feel like there's specific frequencies that trans girls in particular like I can hear it in their music.
Mm.
I can see it in like the style, like there's an aesthetic and a sound, and I think that's like something that I really want to keep trying to portray properly as I keep getting into directing and producing and writing and all that stuff, because it's delicious.
Mm.
And I want to see it, but with budget, you know.
Yeah,
like CGI budget.
Yes.
Like good CGI budget, just like a like Marvel level CGI yumminess that it deserves, I think.
Oh my god, can someone please finance this?
Yes.
This sounds so divine.
Yeah. I mean,
I totally hear that. Magic.
Yeah.
Animate that magic.
There's a magic. Beautiful. And like it makes me think of like Arca and Sophie. Mm, I don't know if you...
Of course.
Like
yeah.
You can just... Yeah, or Noni.
Such a big Sophie.
You can hear it in their in their sounds.
Mm.
So,
yeah, Noni, so beautiful.
Yeah,
oh,
think about that a lot.
That's so exciting.
And then like maybe, I mean, I really just want to see a trans girl love story too, like two trans girls.
Yeah.
Just that's like not a thing really in movies.
Yeah,
yet.
I feel like I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen it either, I don't think.
Ah, okay, well we're voicing it now, so you know.
I want to see it.
Who knows who might be listening to this podcast.
Exactly.
This is what the girls want.
Finance this, please. Thank you.
That's really interesting.
Is there anything in the world that you feel like is missing just as far as what you consume?
Oh my God.
That
there's so much
want
missing
to see? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess just, yeah, like greater nuance of portrayal across the board. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, yeah, it's cool to be, like, there. I don't think there was a, like, beautiful trans girl, you know, teenager figure on TV when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, a beautiful thing to see. But, yeah, just going deeper and getting that nuance everywhere is super cool for me. But no, I don't know. I mean, I am a weird like consumer of popular culture. I have found myself sort of like piecing out a little bit on popular culture. I don't know why that is. I think
I was gonna ask because I know you're off. You're not on social media.
Yeah, I think honestly, part of it is from becoming someone who was like creating popular culture quite young.
Yeah.
Because I was obsessed with it growing up. It was like just, you know, candy to me. I loved it. And yeah, there's something, you do lose a tiny bit of that magic being the one who's sort of like helping to, you know, fill the sausage. I don't know, that's a really weird metaphor, but see how the sausage is made, be the filling for the thing. Yeah, you know, like I remember a really like famous songwriter hanging out with him a lot, and he would only listen to like jazz or like Motown. And I was like, oh, you never listen to anything modern. Yeah. He's like, I can't. It's work. Like I'm in it. So I can't, like, I don't get enjoyment from that. And I was like, oh my God. And while that's not, you know, fully true to me, I can like totally get down to pop music. But there is an element of needing to, yeah, just go to slightly different resources to fully like let go and enjoy it. Because otherwise I'm like, oh yeah, that person was working with that person. I wonder how that went. You know, it's just like a bit of a,
because you know all these people.
Know people. Yeah. But, yeah. I've always been a big reader, and actually since getting off social media, I've just read more than ever. It's been such a year of reading, or a couple years. I read a lot as a kid, and then, if you're spending like 7 hours on your phone, you just like don't have the time.
No, so definitely not.
That's been really amazing, and yeah, just trying to expose myself to different thinkers, or, you know, people who are really just like expanding horizons for me. I quoted Maggie Nelson in my speech the other day. I don't know if you have encountered her work at all, but
no,
I think you'd really like it. She she wrote this amazing book called The Argonauts, which is like a real beacon for a lot of queer kids.
Yeah,
and really goes into the sort of complexities of her relationship, and she's just an amazing thinker. I love her so much. She's really been, so I feel like in seeking out people like that, I help to sort of see the things that it helps for me to see what I want to be seeing.
That is inspiring.
I highly recommend
to
go
shit off my phone.
No, you're so good at it. Some people I'm like, they just, you know, you shine on the platform.
Thank you for me
I was like, okay, I guess I'm gonna like take a selfie and post it. Like, it wasn't real. Like, you're just cool and doing it.
I'm trying. It's definitely more distant now than before.
Good to have boundaries, like, you know.
I think so.
So you're filming at the moment, and by the time this comes out, the show may be out.
I think
at some undisclosed date.
I think so. Yes. Yes, we got a nod.
Yes. How's that going?
It's wild. I use that word a lot.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's a great word.
It's a good one.
All encompassing.
I heard yesterday we have 6-ish weeks left, or we're supposed to.
Wow.
I think.
Wow.
Which is kind of mind-blowing after just going into filming one of these seasons is like, it's really like, peace, like you just descend into this world that's completely not real, and then come back up.
6 weeks is still a lot.
Later. What?
6 weeks is a lot still. That seems like a long amount of time, but you've been doing it for 8 months.
I think in comparison to the entire season, it feels like it feels tiny. Like, oh my God,
a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, it's been an intense season. Learned a lot about myself as a person, acting, just it's
Oh my God, I
don't even know
wait.
How to talk
no,
about it.
No, it's okay. You're probably like not allowed to talk about it. I'm like, give me the tea. I fully cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
I truly have like three shows that I care about at all. This is a big one
oh
for me.
Oh my God. Thank you. Wait, what are the other? What are
oh,
the other
okay.
Few?
Let me think. Well, I mean, I love Succession. I'm a big Succession
fan. Yes.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
What else do I like? God. I mean, I do like TV. I'm bad. Like, honestly, it takes me. I have this weird thing where I can't. I'll say to myself, oh, I really want to watch that movie.
Mm.
And then I will like, it's almost like making a social engagement and then it gets to the day and you're like, oh, I don't feel like doing it anymore.
Yeah.
I do that with movies, Hunter, literally for 6 months. I will put a movie on my list and I haven't watched a movie.
So you have a list?
I have a list, but it's like, I've been adding shit to it for years.
Yeah.
And I take off literally maybe one a year. Like, I only watch maybe two or three movies a year.
Wow.
It's like a problem. I don't know why. I find them so immersive and consumptive that I need to like really be in the right space.
Yeah, that sounds really intense.
But yeah, First Reformed, an A24 movie that I love a lot. Yeah, that was one of the few a couple of years ago, and just totally went down the rabbit hole of that.
Super cool.
I can't recommend it enough. It's
nice.
A really good one. But yeah, no, I'm very excited for the show. What about you? How do you engage with TV and with film? What shows are you?
Yeah, I think. It's kind of annoying ever since getting into the making of this stuff.
Right.
Now,
it's the same thing. You're like, I'm the sausage meat.
Yeah. But it's also like I understand like what it looks like outside of the frame and like what everyone's doing. And now I'm like been trained to like analyze.
Absolutely.
Now it becomes a game of like.
You're like,
analyzing,
is that on the
soundstage? And I'm like, yeah, they used that light there with that gel, and was that the right decision?
Oh, wow.
So I feel like I'm only like half watching. Mm-hmm. I feel like I gotta watch things a few times to like really absorb them. But I just trust that that will happen naturally if it's meant to. Like, like Fleabag, I've watched.
Mm.
Several times, or
so good.
I May Destroy You several
so
times.
Good.
Oh, you've seen
God.
That one?
Of course.
Yeah. Michaela Cole.
I just got a book last week. She just wrote this book.
What?
It's like a little, she did this speech, I think, in 2018. They sort of like packaged it as a book, but I can't remember. It's just like a little tome. It's called Misfits. It's so cool.
Oh my God. I didn't know
she's
had
amazing.
A book coming out. Okay.
I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah, me too. Me
unbelievable.
Too. Just goals.
Yeah, that
entirely.
One is like really, that unfolds for
oh my
sure.
God. Insane. Yeah. Oh, just hearing about her process too. And yeah, she's also not on social media.
Oh,
like
true.
You.
She's
cool like that. And is there anything else we should cover before?
I mean,
I'm trying to think.
I have a bunch of questions that I feel
Ooh.
Like I can ask them in my own time.
One thing.
Please. Yes.
Antarctica.
Oh, yeah.
I have to ask.
Please. Oh
like,
gosh.
I'm not even sure how to approach asking about
oh,
it because it's fucking Antarctica. But when did you last or couple years ago?
I went at the beginning of 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. So
okay.
A while ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had been like totally obsessed with it my whole childhood.
Mm.
I had books on Antarctica because New Zealand is 7 hours away. So you're
wow.
like closest than like most countries.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So you sort of grow up knowing a lot about it. And yeah, I was just like so into the history and the sort of race to the South Pole. It was this like big dramatic sort of 20th century, you know, like explorer shit. People were, you know, like going on behalf of the Queen. It was like psychotic. But and like dying, you know, it was so dramatic. But
yeah.
So I was really into it then. And then, you know, starting to just to like engage more with our planet, I was sort of like, oh my God, I think I need to go there. I had this like, they had the reaction, which you're kind of not supposed to have, which is like, people call it last chance tourism. Like, I got to go there before it's too late, you know?
Oh.
And that was sort of my first thought in going to Antarctica. And actually going there and having that experience made me realize, oh no, you cannot go around doing this. Like, this is
yeah.
actually the opposite of what you're supposed to do, you know. You didn't
what
had this
mean?
Like, well, like, I probably shouldn't have gone to Antarctica, you know.
Really?
Like, just this like pop star, like it was probably kind of naughty to use those resources and burn that jet fuel. But like I've tried to sort of, I wrote this book and the proceeds went to a couple of scholarships for people to do their doctorates in climate science. So I feel like there's a nice sort of way of going back. But it was so amazing, Hunter. It really was the best 5 days of my entire life.
Oh my God.
I will never do anything like it again. It was so crazy from start to finish. Like you get in this plane, which is like a military plane, like an American military plane, which looks nothing like a normal plane. And we were getting like, it's like exposed like wire and just like sacking. And it's so crazy. And you really do feel like you're like going to space. Like you're departing any normal world that you've existed in before, and then you just land on the ice. There's no runway, like you're just the conditions have to be perfect.
So
land on the ice, and it's totally light. Like it was 2 a.m. when we arrived, and it was like bright sunlight because it doesn't get dark all summer. It's just light because you're, you know, obviously so close to the pole. So it's just like these layers of insanity and you know, it's a sunny day and you're looking at, I remember standing on a beach and the water was glistening and a scientist told me that water is actually sub-freezing. It's colder than ice because it has salt in it so it can go colder than ice.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God, like it feels like I could just dip in.
Yeah. Did you touch it?
No, it was colder than ice.
That's a terrible idea. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I guess I could have. I had my gloves on.
It's right.
But just that contemplation of the environment at all times. Not even thinking about, because I think lots of people ask me like, did you like see climate change firsthand? I was like, no. It's because you can't, as someone who's just visiting for the first time, what you see and what you feel is just this force, like nothing I've ever felt. You are totally in servitude to this like presence, this natural power, and you spend your whole day thinking about what's happening outside and what will be happening and just trying to sort of walk among that as like sensitively as you can. But it was insane. Like there were just, I mean, these huge seals everywhere. Like half ton seals just asleep.
Oh my God.
Just sort of walked past. We did this crazy, I went out with these whale scientists in this helicopter at like 10 o'clock at night, again, full sunshine. Right. And we flew over this sort of channel and they were looking for orca to sort of track and we were like landed on the ice and just seeing these orca like coming out of the water.
You saw them?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
my
as
God.
Far away as you are.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was insane. It's just the whole thing. Yeah. It was
spiritual. What sounded like there? What was the sound?
It sounds like nothing. There's no sound because
it's
there's
just
no
just dead quiet.
Well, the weather was good when I was there. There was no wind, but there's nothing for it to blow through.
Yeah.
There's no trees.
Right.
So the silence is like no silence you've ever heard. It almost has a sound. It's so quiet. Like you can hear your heartbeat. You can hear the blood in your ears.
Wow.
Yeah. It's insane.
Oh. It sounds so crazy.
I can't tell anyone to go there because it's like not, you shouldn't be a tourist down there, but if you ever, like, I don't know, have a career change
there
and become a biologist and get a chance to go down there, definitely go.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you really sold it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you for enlightening me.
You're so welcome. This was a delight.
This was fun.
I'm really happy we could do this.
Me too.
I'll be your fan forever.
Aww,
and
you too.
I'm so excited for the new season of Euphoria.
Thank you. I'm so excited to see these new solar power videos that are coming.
Well, I have to get you along to a show.
Yeah. Oh my God. I would I would die.
I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Hunter.
Love you.
Thanks for listening. The A24 podcast is produced by us, A24. Special thanks to our editor, Tom Wyatt, and Robot Repair, who composed our theme. Thank you.